Yes, it is about that time once again. Happy Tuesday, ladies and gents. You are tuned into Current Sports with me, Al Martin. We've got a great show in store for you all. Of course, we will recap the weekend that was in the sporting world. And, of course, start things by chatting about the Detroit Tigers, who are now on a three-game skid. They find themselves in third place of the American League Central Division. We'll chat about how high up is that panic meter from 1 to 10 on a scale from 1 to 10 when it comes to the Tigers at this point. We'll talk about the Tigers. We'll also recap the weekend that was, of course, for the NBA playoffs. Some exciting performances from two of the game's best players over the weekend. You don't want to miss that. We'll also bring to you a pretty cool feature from WKAR's own Kevin Lavery, who is going to profile the wonderful world of cricket. You don't want to miss that. We'll have weekend winners as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Again, the number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls again all the way up until the end of the show. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this May 26th. All right, some unfortunate news concerning the Michigan State baseball team. Oregon, a team that Michigan State swept on the road in non-conference play during the regular season, they earned an at-large berth to the 64-team field of the NCAA tournament. Michigan State, though, got left out again and were one of the final teams to miss the field, similar to what happened in 2013. Now, the Spartans were 5-6 over their last 11 games with four combined costly losses to Purdue, Penn State, and Minnesota, all with RPIs 148 or lower, and a 1-2 showing in the Big Ten tourney. Michigan State ends its season with a 34-23 overall record. We'll be chatting about Michigan State getting left out of the NCAAs later on in today's show. Number 3 ranked Michigan, they will take on number 5 Alabama in the first game of Women's College World Series action Thursday at ASA Hall of Fame Stadium in Oklahoma City. That can be seen on ESPN2. First pitch is set for 7 p.m. Now the winner will advance to play the Oregon and UCLA winner at 9:30 p.m. on Friday on ESPN2. The two losers play at 2:30 p.m. Saturday in an elimination game. Now, U of M advanced after edging number 14 Georgia in the NCAA Super Regional before 2,582 fans at the Wilpon Complex on Friday. All right, folks, we can add safety Kenny Lack's name to the list of 2016 verbal commitments that now numbers 13. The 6'2", 185-pound Lack from Illinois is a three-star recruit, according to Rivals.com and 247Sports.com, and a four-star recruit as evaluated by Scout.com, which ranks him the number 25 safety in the nation. Now, he's the number 17 player in the nation per 247Sports.com. Lack picked the Spartans over finalists Notre Dame, Oregon, and Baylor. Right-hander Justin Hahn pitched his first career shutout, allowing just four hits to guide the Oakland A's to their third straight win on Monday, a 4-0 shutout of the Detroit Tigers in the three-game series opener at the Coliseum. Tigers starter Shane Green was responsible for all four runs. The right-hander scattered eight hits over 5 2/3 innings, striking out four and walking none. The Tigers have now fallen three straight games and are three games in back of the first-place Kansas City Royals in the AL Central. Well, after sitting out voluntary workouts in the first half of this offseason, as part of a contract dispute, James Ehedable, he reported for the start of organized team activities today. Now, a 31-year-old journeyman who has played for four teams in his seven NFL years, Ehedable, he signed a two-year, $3.1 million deal with the Lions last year. It looks like a bargain now. Now, he's scheduled to make $1.6 million this fall, including a $500,000 roster bonus that already has been paid. And how about this news from the Lions? The Detroit Lions and the MGM Grand Detroit Casino and Hotel plan to build an exclusive premium area for fans at Ford Field. Now, they announced today that the MGM Grand Detroit Tunnel Club will be located adjacent to the Lions locker room and will accommodate more than 100 fans and guests from MGM Grand Detroit during home games and other stadium events. Those in the area, which will include bleacher-style seating, will get a close-up view of Lions players leaving and entering the locker room. All right, according to the Business Journal, ex-Lions GM Matt Millen is leaving ESPN to join the Big Ten Network in Fox Sports. Now, he will call BTN's top game of the week with Kevin Kugler and will also be a studio analyst for Fox Sports 1 for college and the NFL. And in last night's NBA playoff action, the Houston Rockets, they avoided getting swept at the hands of the Golden State Warriors, pulling out a 128-115 victory at home. James Harden led the way for Houston with 45 points. Also in the NHL playoffs, the Anaheim Ducks beat the Chicago Blackhawks 5-4 in overtime of Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. The Ducks now have a 3-2 series lead. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those or anything on your sports noggin, call 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Without further ado, it is about that time to start the show. Yes, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I am the man behind the mic, your host, Al Martin, on this fantastic Tuesday, May 26th, 2015. Hopefully, you all had a great Memorial Day weekend. I know I sure did. Definitely enjoyed the time off being amongst family and friends. Of course, my grandma, she held a big old cookout at her house on the west side of Detroit. A few of my cousins came over, my aunties and uncles came over, my pops was in the house. A great, 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 great time. My body is certainly paying for all of the barbecue that I scarfed down yesterday, though, during yesterday's cookout. I need to hit Planet Fitness like now, folks, okay? But it was a great time sitting back and chillaxing. Haven't done that in a while. It's always a great time during Memorial Day. Hopefully, again, all you guys out there who enjoyed the time off, or hey, maybe you worked on Memorial Day. Also, I know a few people who actually worked, but it was just a great time in general, man. Just being back at home on the west side of Detroit, had a great time. Isaac Constance, our fantastic engineer of WKR's Current Sports. Isaac, man, how was your Memorial Day, brother?
It was good, Al. I tried to make the most of it. So a friend and I actually drove up to the upper Saginaw area and did a 14-mile hike.
So, a 14-mile hike? Where were you guys at again?
I can't think of the name of the river, but we just hiked along a river, and it was beautiful. It was great to get out. Perfect time to do it. Yeah.
Wow. So are you an avid hiker? Have you done that before? I'm assuming you have.
Yeah. I actually did about a week of the Appalachian Trail with my mom and brother, and we go for hikes regularly.
Wow, that's a great way to stay in shape, I'm sure. And 14 miles, I probably would have passed out at around the 8-mile mark. That's unbelievable, man. Well, that's a great time. And you were still in Michigan because you're from New Orleans, so you didn't get a chance to go back home. You were here. You stayed here in Michigan throughout the weekend, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'll be back home on Monday, though. You know.
Nice.
Next weekend, I'm off. So.
Exactly. You'll get to go back to the big NO and get to see the fam, right?
Oh yeah.
That should be a fun time. Well, let's dive right into the show, Isaac, because, again, you know, trying to recap the, actually 3 days when looking at this past weekend is certainly a tall order here on the show. We're going to try to do that, though. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And we got to start things by talking about the Detroit Tigers. Right-hander Justin Hahn, he pitched his first career shutout, allowing just four hits to guide the Oakland A's to their third straight win on Monday, which was a 4-0 shutout of the Detroit Tigers. The first time that the Tigers, Isaac, have actually been shut out all year. Again, that was yesterday's game was the opening of a three-game series between the Tigers and A's at the Coliseum. Tigers starter Shane Green, he was responsible for all four runs. The right-hander scattered 8 hits over 5 2/3 innings, striking out 4 and walking none. Again, the Tigers have fallen now 3 straight games and are 3 games in back of the first place Kansas City Royals in the American League Central. You know, so right now, Isaac, I mean, if you could grade the Detroit Tigers right now, you know, it's interesting because if you look at this team, and again, I always say this, I hate to be cliche, but I got to say, Isaac, if you are not somewhat concerned about the Detroit Tigers at this point, I think you got to be a little bit delusional. I will say that even though a baseball season, I always say, is a marathon, it's not a sprint. They certainly have a long way to go. They are, what, only 3 games out of the American League Central lead. That could change around in the blink of an eye. We could be singing an entirely different tune in a couple of weeks here. Minnesota is now in the thick of things. They've really come out of nowhere to have that second spot in the American League Central. Even with all that being said, the Tigers have, you know, with the Tigers having plenty of time to change this thing around. The Tigers have been fortunate without having a big stretch where they've had, you know, 7 or 8 straight losses here. You know, 2 losses, 3 losses here and there, you know, a 4-game losing streak there. They get back on track and break that. I mean, it's kind of been an up and down, topsy-turvy season. But I will say, there's going to be 2 things right now, actually 3 things, that I am legitimately worried about the Tigers. And if you aren't worried about them as a Detroit Tigers fan, you got to be delusional. Even though this is baseball we're talking about, folks. Isaac, what are your thoughts on the Tigers in this this 3-game skid so far?
Al, I think it's, like you said, it's a marathon. But obviously, no matter what race you're running, be it a marathon, 100-meter dash, whatever, you want to start off quick, and you want to keep that up. So the Tigers were able to start quick, but the fact that they're losing all that momentum just 45 games into the season, it is worrisome because the middle of the season, yes, teams make amazing runs at the end, in the beginning, but the part that goes the most unnoticed is the middle of the season, and that's what we're drawing to. But that's the most important part, is the longest. So I think it's worrisome. Like you said, there's a couple of players that started very well and have been losing it. Now we could get to an Ausmus clip later where he talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
But more than anything, I also think it's important that Kansas City has also lost 2 in a row.
Right.
So
right.
They're not doing
great. And they got shellacked by the New York Yankees, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just a beating.
But what's just as worrisome to me is Minnesota's great form recently.
Mm-hmm.
Because we saw the Tigers perform pretty well against Minnesota in the season series earlier this year. But the Tigers are fighting with 2 teams for that AL Central crown. That could be tough, and I can't see the Tigers winding up on top of 2 teams. They need to get it back together quick.
I will say, though, that Minnesota, I think, because how many times have we seen in baseball a team really just come out of nowhere to you know, make the playoffs and make a deep run in the playoffs and just click out of nowhere? Even though Minnesota is having some great recent success here, I don't think Minnesota will be able to sustain that. And I think eventually they'll just kind of fade off, and it's going to be a 2-man horse race between the Tigers and Royals. I could be wrong because, again, we've seen in baseball teams just really come out of nowhere. They just start to click. That's the game of baseball. There will be 1 or 2 teams that we see like that throughout the entire year. But this is the reason why I say you have to be concerned about the Tigers, though, in a few areas. One, and this is a stat that's absolutely mind-boggling to me, Isaac, and is a true testament and speaks to the form of inconsistency that the Tigers have had so far this year. Out of the 46 games that the Tigers have played, again, they're currently 26-20. Out of those 46 games, in more than half of those games, in 21 of those games, they have scored 2 runs or less. Again, of the 46 games the Tigers have played, in 21 of those, the Tigers have scored 2 runs or less. Isaac, that can't happen.
Yeah.
You can't win World Series, you know, with that level of inconsistency at the plate. Up and down. You just don't know what you're going to get with the Tigers at the plate now. I mean, and again, in baseball, you have stretches of a year where the bats go cold. But again, in more than half of those games, 2 runs or less?
Yeah.
Oh, come on now.
That's ridiculous. And looking at the recent schedule, the Tigers generally win when they bat well, because the pitching, whether it's great for the day or not, those 10-run, like, give-ups that we had to Houston a couple of days ago.
Right, right.
That usually does not happen. That's a total aberration.
Not at all. It happens in baseball, though. I mean, that also happens in baseball. Yeah.
Of course. But the Tigers' pitching has really done a great job of minimizing those. But when you lose in games where you give up 3 runs, 4 runs, 3 runs, 2 runs, however many, you know, 2. Mm-hmm. Just going back and looking at the losses, so many are low-scoring games where you need to help out the pitching.
And right, right. Exactly. And, you know, yeah, you got to have that run support for any pitcher out there. Now, it's interesting because if you really look at the numbers and boil these numbers down, I mean, the Tigers starting pitching has been above average. A 3.96 ERA, good for 6th in the American League. But when you talk about recent stretches for this team, that ERA has been 4.08 in May and is 4.54 if you take out the spectacular play of Big Pasta, Alfredo Simon's 2.10 ERA. So you take Alfredo Simon out, that starting pitching rotation certainly has a lot of room to improve. And I must say, the starters need to be better as a group, and that all starts with a man, for lack of better terms, Isaac, he has just been horrible. Anibal Sanchez has been poor. Very, very poor this year. And we actually have a bite from Tigers manager Brad Ausmus addressing the poor play of Alfredo Simon. This is after that 10-8 loss to Houston on Sunday. Here he is.
Yeah, it's been clearly something that is uncharacteristic for Sanchi. You know, long ball wasn't an issue last year. But this year, it's been a little bit of a different story. Now, we've also seen some outstanding starts by Sanchi, but when he doesn't have his command down in the zone, his off-speed pitches especially, that's when they hit him. Well, it's usually a mechanical issue. With Sanchi, I think sometimes out of the stretch, he starts to rush and he starts to pull down with his chest, and the arm kind of drags behind. Mechanically, that ends up, you end up leaving the ball up. So it's something that's fixable, but a lot of times, even when you know you're doing it, it's tough to fix on the spot.
Yeah. Anibal Sanchez is in a funk, to say the least, Isaac. And I don't know how you get out of that. I mean, when you talk about pitching is all about rhythm and finding that zone. Anibal Sanchez just hasn't found that so far this year. Certainly a long season for him to iron out the kinks, but he has certainly been the weak link to that starting pitching. Health. That's the big thing for the Tigers right now as well, Isaac, other than their inconsistency at bat. Right now, you know, you're looking at Bruce Rondon, who, you know, with that biceps injury, it's said that he's expected to possibly join this team the middle of next week. JV, we've been just waiting on Justin Verlander to come back. I've seen nothing but positive reports in the past few weeks about his return. Of course, with that triceps injury, he's been, you know, pitching in simulated games, and Brad Ausmus and, you know, pitching personnel have liked what they've seen when it comes to Justin Verlander's progression. Victor Martinez, and I think that's a big reason why the Tigers lost that game last night, because you know you take out the big bats in Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez. Of course, Miguel Cabrera was out due to rest yesterday. But if you take out those two bets, I mean, it's like, oh, my goodness. You know, I like the rest of the lineup, but the Tigers are 20 times better when they have, of course, the juggernaut that is Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez in the lineup. So Victor Martinez with the inflammation of the knee, he's expected to be back soon. This certainly doesn't help the Tigers, up on the hill. Kyle Lobstein, he is now on the 15-day disabled list with a sore shoulder. They're actually calling up shortstop Dixon Machado. So that certainly doesn't help. But the Tigers have to be healthy here. And I believe that this team is going to be a much better team than what we're seeing right here, Isaac. Because, I mean, look at the names we're talking about. I mean, we're talking about Justin Verlander, Victor Martinez. Now, I don't know, and we've been chatting about this the past few years now and whether or not JV can return to some of the form that we saw during his glory days when he was the best pitcher in baseball. Folks, let's be real here. Justin Verlander, we won't see that Justin Verlander, I don't think, ever again. But looking at how he played last year, Isaac, I think he'll be better than last year if he comes back. And just to talk about getting in that zone, I do think Justin Verlander, knowing what he needed to work on, looking at last season, he seemed pretty determined. He had a great offseason looking at the reports. I think Justin Verlander has a ton of room to improve when looking at his play last year. I mean, because you can't really get much worse than how JV was last year. He had stretches, but overall, that's not the Justin Verlander that we're used to seeing. So we're talking about Verlander, Martinez, Rondon coming back, Kyle Lobstein getting healthy, now he's on the 15-day disabled list. Those are big names that can make a big, 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 big matter if they return and are healthy. I do think that.
Well, yeah, and like you said about JV, sometimes just these stress injuries and just the stress of a long season,
right?
Maybe exactly what he needed was this rest to come into this year and really perform at his max, because he's always been a guy with a great fastball. You know, he just really can power through. I remember he used to get up to the hundreds. Hasn't done that in a couple of years, but still has a great fastball. And if he can return to some semblance of his form when, you know, he was right there with the Cy Young winners and everything like that, then the Tigers, once again, have a big three pitching. Because Alfredo Simon, like you said, he's been excellent. What is it for the ERA for him?
2.1? Yeah, right now he's got a 2.10 ERA. Yeah. How crazy is that, right?
I mean, if he keeps that up, then also David Price, JV,
right.
That's a great pitching staff. And then you've got guys like Jabba Chamberlain off of the pine, off the bench, just coming in and doing his job. The relief pitching's been fairly decent this year. And, yeah, Anibal Sanchez, though, he can pick it up too, because this is not the Sanchez we're used to seeing.
No, not at all. Not at all, Isaac. And so for me, when looking at this Detroit Tigers team, Isaac, again, it's still early. Don't go hitting that panic meter and saying, oh my goodness, this is a big, big problem for the Tigers. It's not a big problem, but it is. And if it continues, hey, then I think that panic meter can slowly move up. But right now, it's still early. So the Tigers have to... They've gotta wake up when it comes to batting at the plate. They're so inconsistent there. But also, this is also a problem, Isaac. Double plays. For the fifth time this season, the Tigers grounded into three double plays yesterday. They have now grounded into 51 double plays for the year. That is, folks, the most in Major League Baseball. They're on pace for 180, which would actually break the major league record of 174 set by the 1990 Boston Red Sox. You can't win like that. You can't win like that. I don't know what it is about the Tigers. And I was listening to the radio this morning, and I was kind of doing things. I was getting ready for the show, as well as listening to different statistics on the Tigers. And I think, did they have a triple play recently? Did they ground it to a triple play recently? I don't know if that's accurate. I have to look at that, but I heard it through the airways. I have to check on that. But, I mean, come on now. For the fifth time this year, the Tigers grounded to three double plays yesterday. 51 double plays on the year? I don't know what's going on with the Tigers right now, but that can't happen, Isaac.
Well, the Tigers' on-base batting has been inconsistent, because when you look at the numbers, like you said, the Twins, they might be having just one of those stretches, and hopefully that's it, where they're just on fire and keep winning. But when you look at their batting percentages, they are nowhere near the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers have three major hittings, batting well over 300 in the 333 or above range, that being Miggy, Ghost, and Iglesias. And the Tigers still can't score. When you have three hitters like that, and those are usually your leadoff three, hitting that well, it's just about taking advantage of the situations, which the Tigers have not been able to do.
Exactly. I totally agree. So for me, more consistent offense, more consistent starting pitching, and health. Those are the big three for me. They got to get healthy. They, you know, you got to have the, you got to have consistency in those two areas when it comes to starting pitching and offense. If so, the Tigers will be just fine. There's still a lot of baseball left to play. Again, they may not be in the lead right now in the American League Central, but again, it's baseball. This could completely change next week, folks. If they still teeter-totter around, you know, three, four, five games in back of the Kansas City Royals, they can certainly make a charge and compete for that AL Central title as the season goes on. Folks, what do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. All right. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs, Isaac. I tell you what, amongst all of the barbecue that I scarfed down my throat over the weekend, I was certainly entertained by the action that I saw on the tube in the NBA playoffs. Of course, the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference Finals are right in the thick of things now. Of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they have an opportunity. I think they play tonight, right? They have an opportunity to sweep the Atlanta Hawks. LeBron James, what a performance 2 days ago for that man. And it was so awesome to watch because, again, he just single-handedly took over the game. After, and it's the thing about LeBron. LeBron is one of those rare players who it doesn't matter how he starts. He doesn't have to be in a complete zone to start the game to affect the game throughout an entire 48 minutes. He started that game, Isaac, as you know, 0 for 10. A terrible shooting night for LeBron James to start. But he stayed focused. He didn't panic. He got his teammates involved. He got rebounds here and there. And I think that fast break dunk, breakaway dunk really got him going. Sometimes for great players, it's all about just seeing the basketball go through the net for them to start changing things around. I think that kind of spiraled on him. And boom, you start to see LeBron James evolve. And the Atlanta Hawks really had no answer for him. And even if they brought a double team on him, he was kicking out to teammates who could hit those open shots, those open threes, and affecting the game in other ways. That's what makes LeBron James so special. And the big reason why I always compare LeBron James to Irvin Magic Johnson. He resembles Irvin Magic Johnson more so than any other player I've seen in NBA history, Isaac.
I agree with that 100%. And when you look at this stat line, this is out of a video game, 2K My Player, with 12-minute quarters.
2K, you know? Right? Yeah, right.
He had 37 points, 13 assists, 18 rebounds.
Right.
Who does that?
Nobody.
I mean, I'd be happy if my player finished with 0 points and 18 rebounds or 13 assists, whatever.
Right.
That is incredible. And LeBron, he was only 1 of 6 from the three-point line, but that three was clutch. He pump fake Paul Millsap, went for the shot fake. LeBron was in the corner, knocked it down. I think it was the fourth quarter, and just a big shot that Jeff Teague actually had to answer on the next possession.
Right, exactly. But, and Jeff Teague, you got to give Jeff Teague a lot of credit as well, because Jeff Teague, he battled, and he kind of really just took over for the Hawks. If you look at their offensive production, he said, "I'm taking it to the rim. I don't care who's on me." He had a big floater over Tristan Thompson. I mean, he was fantastic that game as well. Big question now, big elephant in the room, do the Hawks get swept? Should we bring out the brooms tonight?
They get swept.
Do you think they do?
No Kyle Korver, they get swept.
Yeah, and going back, and this is also the big moment that everybody's talking about, Dellavedova. You know, Al Horford, you know, it's pretty cool. I was telling you, Isaac, last week, I got the chance to cover Al Horford as an intern back at Channel 6. Because Al Horford, of course, you know, his family's from Cuba. Tito Horford, you know, everybody knows him from around the area. He's from Grand Ledge. You know, his brother John as well, who used to play basketball for U of M. I remember going out to his basketball camp and covering his basketball camp back when I was an intern for Channel 6. He's a great guy. And we just really saw Al Horford sort of break out of his element and really do something that was just uncharacteristic of him. But I will say, Isaac, I understood where Al Horford was coming from, because Dellavedova is a player for the Cleveland Cavaliers who's had not one, not two, but now three incidences in my estimation and in my view that have been And I don't want to label him as a dirty player, but three dirty plays, if you ask me. Of course, we know when he was on the floor, he had the wrap-up of, who was it? Was it Drew Gooden's legs or something like that? Whose legs was that? It was of some player for the Chicago Bulls. Really didn't need to
Taj
do it.
Taj Gibson.
Yeah, Taj Gibson. That's who it was. He wraps his legs around him. They get into it. Technical. And then of course, Kyle Korver. The reason why he isn't playing is because Dellavedova is diving on the floor. You gotta give a hats off to him. He plays hard. He plays hard when he's out there. I appreciate his gritty play. But he dives on the floor. He tweaks, you know, and he kind of rolls on Kyle Korver's knee. Kyle Korver's done for the series. And then the game that we saw, the most recent game, we saw almost the exact same play where Dellavedova is diving on the court. Al Horford's right there in the midst of the play. He kind of rolls up on Al Horford's knee. And if I'm Al Horford and I look down and see Dellavedova almost roll up on my knee, the same exact play that Al Horford saw happen to his teammate the previous game, which put his teammate out for the series, I'm saying, whoa. This is no coincidence here. I'm about to lower the rock people's elbow on your face. And that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. And if anything, I don't think Al Horford should have got thrown out the game. I thought it should have been a flagrant one, if anything. And he should have stayed in the basketball game. But it was a flagrant two. They eject him. Hawks lose the game. What are your thoughts on Dellavedova?
Al, I thought it should have been a flagrant two for Al Horford because...
You did.
I think it was partially self-protection, but also partially retribution. Because we see it in baseball. When somebody hits your bat, or when your batter's hit, you pitch at their player. You see it at basketball. It reminds me of the Miami-Indiana series from 3 years ago, I believe, when Lance Stephenson made the choke symbol to LeBron James. And Lance Stephenson was then taken out not once, but twice by Heat players.
But think about Lance Stephenson has a history of doing antics like that throughout a game. Al Horford's known as this classy guy. And again, Dellavedova was involved. You can't tell me that, in my estimation, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You know what I mean? I that's the same exact play that took his player out the previous game. If I look at that, I'm gonna be ticked off. Point blank clear. So I understood where he was coming from with that, Isaac.
Oh, I do too. What I'm saying is Al Horford, I think, also, though, was protecting his player, saying, no, you did that to Horford. We're going to get you back a little bit. I would totally expect more than a couple of hard, physical, not-so-legal screens to be set on Dellavedova in this past game because, like I was saying about Stephenson, it wasn't Stephenson's antics because that was actually when he was a rookie.
Right.
That was his first newsworthy exposure. But after that, he was checked by Dexter Pittman with a horrible elbow to the head, actually, while he was going up for a rebound.
Right, right.
And Dwayne Wade. So,
Why is that a flagrant two? Why not give him a flagrant one? Why throw him out the game?
It was more than self-protection. He kind of went down on him.
Yeah, I mean, he was certainly ticked off, as well as I would be. Okay, you watched the game last night, right? Did you see Dwight Howard fling an elbow and smacks a guy in the face and just gets, what, I think it was a flagrant one?
Flagrant one.
That's all. You can argue that that's the same exact thing that happened at Al Horford and Dellavedova.
Well, what I'd argue, though, is Bogut and Howard don't have that much of a history. So, although that's a dirty play, or not a dirty play by Howard, there was pushing on both sides, and it was just Howard that went a little bit too far with the swing.
Swung right above his shoulders.
Yeah.
At his head.
But I don't think there's much chance of escalation there as there was with Horford and
I disagree, Isaac. I think anytime you swing at somebody's head, I think it's take the gloves off. You know what I mean? And I think I understood Horford's mindset. I just think that if you're going to call that a flagrant two, Dwight Howard should have got ejected as well last night. And that's the same thing Jeff Van Gundy was talking about and Mark Jackson, those guys. I mean, I just didn't understand it. So we're running out of time here, though, Isaac. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we're going to bring to you a very cool feature done by WKAR's own Kevin Lavery, centered on the sport of cricket. You do not want to miss that, folks. We've got all of that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, folks, I am your host, Al Martin, on this fantastic Tuesday, May 26, 2015. I was remiss because, you know, I did not shout out this individual, Isaac, to start the show. Of course, you know that I and this is the thing I hate doing, but moving is such a hassle. When you have to move, you know, from a different apartment to a new apartment or a house to a different house. I mean, I moved into my new apartment over the weekend. And let me tell you, Isaac, we spent 7 hours, 7 hours moving, dude, because I had to go pick up some furniture down in Detroit. Then drive the U-Haul back up here, put that new furniture in there, then go back to my old apartment, get the rest of my stuff, load the truck. It took 2 trips for us to load everything into the new apartment. Then, of course, you have to scrub down and clean the old apartment because you gotta leave it as you moved in with. So I'm scrubbing down, I'm mopping, I'm sweeping. Oh, my goodness. So I have to shout out my childhood friend, Marcel Washington. That's my homie. We grew up together back in the D, but he was gracious and he was with me that entire time, that entire 7 hours, and throughout the weekend as well. But he helped me move in, so I would be remiss if I did not shout him out because, man, were we just dead tired. I think the next morning, like Saturday morning, we didn't even wake up for Saturday morning. I didn't see Saturday morning at all. We woke up at like 3 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. So I was exhausted, though, man, so I'll be remiss if I did not shout that brother out. But isn't moving just a hassle? Oh, my goodness, man.
Crazy how much work it is.
It like, is.
Because I had to move out from my dorm into a house for the summer so right. I could stay up here. Jeez. I mean, it took me all morning on Saturday. Then, of course, I had to pack up my things on Friday. But we had to rent a U-Haul. My roommate, gracious roommate, actually left me my stuff to store for the summer.
Nice.
His stuff, rather, for me to store over the summer. So that doubled the workload. Jeez. It's tough work. That's a workout.
Yeah, I think I just gained about 20 pounds of muscle throughout the weekend. So, but
I see it.
Yeah, I know, right? Hey, Al Diesel, baby, watch out now. All right, let's get to this very cool feature, folks. I'm certainly excited to bring this one to all of you out there listening. Now, millions of people around the world are wild about a sport many native-born Americans have never played. Cricket is second only to soccer in global popularity. Riddle me that, right? There are several adult cricket leagues in the Lansing area, and it's not uncommon to see an evening game in progress at a local school playground. But this summer, officials in Okemos will offer the sport to young children for the very first time. Now, the Okemos Community Education Office will begin cricket league in play on July, and the staff is starting the registration process right now. Current state's own Kevin Lavery talks with Recreation Supervisor Brian Dunn.
When I found out that Okemos was starting a kids' cricket league, I knew my moment of glory had come. Not for myself, of course. I'm a couple of years over the age limit. But for my young protege. We'd been training hard all winter. Conditioning, toning, shaping. We were ready for action.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Finally, we were ready to talk to the Okemos Community Education cricket guru, Recreation Supervisor Brian Dunn.
Hey, Brian.
What are you doing?
Getting ready for the cricket game.
What do you mean?
This is my star athlete. Look.
That's not cricket.
It's easy for a native-born American to miss the concept of cricket. It's like soccer, a fun pastime here in the States, but a cultural obsession in a big part of the world. So imagine baseball with more than a few twists. I'll let Brian Dunn explain.
Most people don't realize that baseball came out of cricket. Cricket existed before baseball. We actually have a large community of people in Okemos who have played cricket, but have not had an opportunity to play it on an organized basis as a youngster, and so we want to provide that opportunity.
So we're standing inside the gym at the Okemos Community Education Office. This is not an outdoor field. It's not even remotely close to the size of an outdoor field, but for all intents and purposes, we're going to simulate that. What are we looking at, and how is cricket set up?
Cricket is set up, as you said, outside. In the center of the field is a pitch that is roughly 66 feet long, and at the end, each end of the pitch is a wicket, which is comprised of 3 wooden stumps that come up, and then there's 2 bales that are perched on top of those stumps.
It looks something like a gate.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And in cricket, the person who's pitching the ball to the batter is actually called the bowler. And unlike baseball or softball, the bowler, when he pitches the ball, has to bounce it on the ground before it gets to the batter. The batsman's first objective is to protect the wicket from being hit by the ball, because if the ball hits the wickets, those three wooden stumps, the batter's out. The second objective for the batsman is to hit the ball into play and be able to run to the other end of the pitch to the other wicket and thereby scoring a run. If he hits the ball far enough and he can run back and forth, each time he runs back and forth, it's a run.
Can you demonstrate the technique of a good bowler?
Certainly, and the sound that you're about to hear is the sound of the bails being knocked out of the wicket, which would make the batsman out.
This is a plastic wicket and a rubber ball. Not really authentic, but if we're talking about a kids' league, we should think of safety first.
Yes, it's the correct application for a youth league. The adults have three wooden stumps for the wicket and a wooden bat and a leather ball. And we have a rubber ball and we have hard plastic bats, much like the first baseball bats that a child's ever had.
I wonder if we could demonstrate this.
Sounds good.
All right, let me get the microphone set up here. So am I pitching first, bowling first?
Yes, you are. And just remember that you can't bend your arm, and the ball needs to hit the ground before it gets to the wickets.
And I need to stand about how far away? Not 66 feet.
No, but I would say just underneath that other basket or a little closer, maybe the free throwing, whatever you're comfortable with.
Wow, okay. Boy, that's maybe 20 feet. I'll give that a try. No bending of the arm, and it has to bounce once. And you hit it first time.
Except that you didn't bounce it. That's the hard part.
Okay, let me try bounce. Too close. Oh, okay.
Wow, almost perfect.
Maybe we'd have better luck if I attempted to bat. Let's trade positions this time, Brian.
Well, I think we're going to have to since you hit the wickets, knocked the bales out, and got me out. That's normally what happened anyway.
And it wasn't all that sticky, that wicket, so I guess that was just luck.
Well, you know, it's funny because a sticky wicket actually means that the ground's very wet and damp and the ball doesn't come up like it should. That's a sticky wicket.
But see, I knocked it over myself.
Yes, if you knock it over yourself, you're out.
I'm out. I hit it, but I'm out.
Yes. Cannot hit the wicket.
Oh, that's embarrassing. My debut hit in cricket. Talking with Brian Dunn, the recreation supervisor for Okemos Community Education, about the new Youth Cricket League coming up in July. When does the season actually begin for youth cricket?
It's going to begin the Thursday before. We have a kickoff night where the players will get their uniforms, their team assignments, the rules, and we'll have a little clinic of the various aspects of cricket, whether it's the batsman or the bowler, and a review of the rules and the playing procedures.
This is a very culturally diverse community, Brian. A lot of people who live here do play cricket and have grown up playing cricket. I imagine it won't be too difficult to market this sport to a young American boy or girl who is more familiar with baseball.
That's certainly true. We do have a largely diverse community in Okemos. I think we can thank the university for that. I think community benefits with that from that diversity. And I think that given the fact that outside of America and across the world, cricket is actually the second most popular sport in the world. So for all of those people whose families have come here somewhat recently, generationally, their parents played it. They may have played it with them when they were young in the backyard. I think that there'll be plenty of demand. We're hoping for half what we get for T-ball the first year, which is 100 kids, and I think that we'll have no problem getting at least 100 kids to sign up for this.
That's impressive.
Well, we're looking forward to it. I think it's an exciting time for us to have this new sport to offer to the community. And given the fact that we have adults in the community already playing cricket on evenings and weekends, it gives us a lot of confidence that there is going to be a large group that will be interested in playing this in the youth league. The reason that we're forming a planning committee of community members that are knowledgeable of cricket, allows us to create a program that'll be authentic to the people who really know how to play cricket, because I certainly do not. And we're going to rely heavily on them to help us fashion a program that will be true to the sport of cricket, and yet at a level that the younger children can play and develop. And we're hoping that this will take off, and next year we can offer it to the next older tier of players, which will require a higher level of understanding of the rules and coaching and umpiring.
Brian Dunn is the recreation supervisor for Okemos Community Education Youth Cricket for kids age 8 through 11, coming to a wicket near you in Okemos in July. Brian, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having us.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.
How cool was that? Again, Kevin Lavery bringing that fantastic feature on the fascinating world of cricket. I've never played cricket. I've seen it on television, and I always, Isaac, I stare at my television like, what in the world is going on? I have no idea how it's played or how it goes, but I think that'd be a pretty cool feature to bring to Current Sports TV. Do you understand the game of cricket at all?
Al, we went to England when I was in seventh grade, and we tried playing it. First off, it's a blast to play, but when I watched it, gosh, I felt like I was in a maze of just directions in which I could understand the game. So,
right.
I'm like, okay, well, when you go touch the other wicket, that's when you get a point. But then if the defense catches it, I guess they get a chance to tag you out, but you also have to hit the wickets
right.
10 times. And there's several versions of the game. So,
oh, is it? So it's not just one set version everyone plays?
Yeah, one version is about a three-and-a-half-hour game where you just hit the wickets a certain amount. You have a certain amount of at-bats, but another is until you actually get the other team out 10 times, and those can be multi-day events.
Oh, my goodness.
Two or 3 days.
Well, that's what my grandfather, a lot of people don't know, my mom is born and raised in Trinidad and Tobago. She's East Indian. My dad is African American. He was born in Detroit, of course. But my mom and my grandfather on my mom's side, of course, he is a big, big cricket fan. So whenever he comes in town, he's always telling me about, you know, how he's going to these different cricket games and how exciting they are. And yeah, they last like multiple days sometimes. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? I mean, we talk about, you know, being impatient here in America watching baseball. Cricket? You got to be a multi-day event. Oh, come on, man. I don't know if that'll ever survive here. But, I mean, I tell you what, you know, as Kevin just reported on, again, it is the second most popular sport, you know, in popularity. And it's growing by the year. And, it's right behind soccer right now as far as growing popularity is concerned in the world of sports. So, fantastic stuff. Again, you can catch that. We're going to post this later on our website, WKR.org, if you just happen to tune in and missed it. But a fantastic story. Much thanks to Current State's own Kevin Lavery. Well, that's our second break. When we come back, we will wrap up the show by bringing you, of course, weekend winners. Just who exactly had the best weekend in the world of sports this past Memorial Day weekend? Don't touch that dial. You are tuned in to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. After that short break, you are listening to Current Sports with Al Martin. Of course, I am Al Martin, and we've got a great show. We're gonna close this thing out in a great way, as we always do, each and every. Usually it's on Monday, but of course, with it being the holiday weekend, of course, we weren't on the air yesterday, so with it being Memorial Day weekend, here on Tuesday, we're going to bring you what we like to call Weekend Winners, where we look at the weekend that was in the world of sports, and even in beyond sports, and bringing to you who we thought had the best weekend, period. So, here we go. It is time for Weekend Winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Yes, you hear the montage. It is time for Weekend Winners right here on Current Sports, where we recap the weekend that was and bring to you our favorite teams, players, stories from over the weekend. So, I'm going to start this thing off, Isaac, by shouting out Mr. Michael Sam. Remember Michael Sam? Michael Sam, of course, he was drafted late in the NFL draft. What was that? Was that last year now? No, that was like 2 years
ago.
That was last season. Oh, wow. That's unbelievable. I can't believe. Okay, yeah. Michael Sam in last year's NFL draft. You know, he was drafted late in the NFL draft. I believe like the final day of the NFL draft. And to the St. Louis Rams. Of course, he couldn't cut the mustard in training camp. You know, Coach Jeff Fisher over there, they thought, maybe they could put him on this practice squad, on the practice squad, and maybe he'll do something there. He eventually bounced around, actually, for my Dallas Cowboys, playing on the practice squad there. But really, just trying to find that moment in time where he could make his NFL dreams come true and make that roster. Of course, that certainly did not happen. And the reason why there's the bigger reason why there's a lot of hoopla around Michael Sam is because he became the first openly gay football player in the NFL to be drafted. So, just historic moments for Michael Sam, even though he didn't make a roster, but he decided to take an interesting route to possibly showcase his talent and show other NFL personnel out there that maybe he deserves a shot at making an official NFL roster. Michael Sam signed a 2-year deal with the Montreal Alouettes in the Canadian Football League. How about that? That's fantastic stuff. So I wanted to shout out Michael Sam because, you know, he's been a guy who's just been trying to just struggling to find an official roster somewhere. Maybe the CFL is that window of opportunity that he needs, Isaac.
I hope it is. And he's a guy that he's really professional, seems like a great guy. Had no problems in the locker room at Mizzou, so I was hoping the NFL would work out for him, and I think that would be a great just advancement of gay rights, especially in sports. But this is a great step up, and I think he can be really successful. SEC Defensive Player of the Years tend to do pretty well.
You know,
just they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good, I think, right? Also, another weekend winner, Detroit Lions fans. Isaac, as we stated in our Quick Hit Headliners, if you didn't tune in at the beginning of the show, the Detroit Lions and the MGM Grand Detroit Casino Hotel plan to build an exclusive premium area for fans at Ford Field. Now, I'm curious as to how much these seats would be, Isaac. I'm pretty sure you got to have a nice chunk of change in order to enjoy these seats. But they announced today that the MGM Grand Detroit Tunnel Club will be located adjacent to the Detroit Lions locker room and will accommodate more than 100 fans and guests from MGM Grand Detroit during home games and other stadium events. Now, those in the area, which will include bleacher-style seating, will get a up-close and personal view of Lions players leaving and entering the locker room. Kind of reminds me of Jerry World, of course, with the Detroit Cowboys, fantastic stadium out in Texas. I'm trying to bring that feel to Ford Field. Hey, we got a caller right now online. One that wants to state their very own personal weekend winner. It's my man, one of my favorite guys here in Mid-Michigan, Tyler Beck. Ty, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Al, I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain, my man. How was your Memorial Day weekend?
It was pretty good. I didn't do a whole lot other than drive around and see people, but I got to go fishing and get some custard, so that's always a good time.
That sounds like a great time to me, Ty. Who's your weekend winner, my man?
I'm going to go with Harry Jaden and J.P. Mullane from the MSU men's tennis team.
Nice.
This weekend, they became the first doubles All-Americans in Michigan State men's tennis history, and they advanced all the way to the national semifinals in the NCAA doubles tournament.
Wow. How about that? Did you get a chance to see them up close and personal over the weekend?
I mean, I watched them on live streaming, but I wasn't able to go down to Texas and watch them because it was hosted at Baylor.
Gotcha. You know, Ty, stay on the line, because I want to throw this at you, too, to close out the show, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Isaac, as well. Of course, we didn't get a chance to go in-depth on this story. But, Ty, you follow Michigan State sports pretty intently. Michigan State baseball being left out of the NCAA tournament, Oregon getting in. What's your reaction to that?
It's a bummer, man. Whenever there's a tournament selection committee, you're always going to get snubbed. I mean, you had how many basketball teams this year in the NCAA tournament? So for baseball, you got to say Michigan State got snubbed this year.
Especially the fact that, again, they swept Oregon in the road, in non-conference play. So there you have that. Ty, fantastic weekend winner. Appreciate the call. All right, Isaac, you got any weekend winners for us?
I do, and I'm going to go across seas and across country boundaries to the lands of Europe, where soccer seasons across the world finished this past weekend.
Right.
So we had several people that are teams that were crowned championships. So I'd like to shout out Chelsea, not the team I support, but congrats to them. They had a great year. Then PSG in France. You got Barcelona in Spain and Juventus in Italy. So I'd like to shout out all of those teams. So great seasons to them, and it was fun to watch over the year.
And if I'm not mistaken, I actually got this notification on my phone watching the Rockets and Golden State game last night. Real Madrid's coach fired, right?
Carlos Ancelotti, yeah, he's likely out. So that will be the most desirable position in all of sports, because Real Madrid, they pay well, and they've got a great team. They can win the championship every year. So if they're listening, I am free. I could still do the show every week.
Right, but, there you go. You still got to be here, Isaac. But we'll let you take that gig. I'm pretty sure it pays a lot more. I'm sure.
I'll do this as well, primarily, you know.
There you go. I appreciate your dedication, Isaac Constance. Appreciate that, man. Also, one final weekend winner for me, Sloan Stephens. How about Sloan Stephens defeating Venus Williams, upsetting Venus at the French Open? Serena, she is still on top of her game on the court in the French Open. She actually defeated, this is a tough name to say, Halavakova. I think I just nailed that, but Serena Williams still on top of her game in the French Open. So she moves on. Sloane Stephens also moves on in that regard as well. Weekend loser, I got one weekend loser, even though it was a fantastic game between the Rockets and Warriors last night in Houston. The rain was so bad, it caused a flood advisory everywhere. I mean, there's pictures of cars floating, you know, left and right on freeways. Just a bad situation. Anybody out in Houston, including my fraternity brother, who's a big Houston Rockets fan, be safe, Houston, if we have any Houston listeners, all right? Well, that wraps up this edition of WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic Tuesday, and be easy, people.